Today, I want to talk about faith in God bringing the ability to forgive yourself. Faith in God brings the ability for you to forgive yourself. Maybe in your life, it's not that somebody else deeply offended or insulted you. Maybe you've been good with other people. Maybe somebody out there has not offended you or insulted you. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's that you did something in the past to hurt or abuse or offend somebody else. Maybe it was abusive words that you spoke to somebody, or maybe it was hurtful action that you displayed toward another person, a child, maybe a parent, a spouse, a loved one, and maybe as a result, this person has separated himself or herself from you. Maybe this person has left you. And so now you get down on yourself, now you're on a guilt trip, condemning yourself, and at this point in your life, you might be self-punishing yourself based on some of the things, the insulting and offensive things that you've done towards others. And just as you need to forgive others of their offenses against you, you need to forgive yourself of offenses you committed against others. Is that making sense? Is that making sense here today? You know, we need to forgive others of the offenses they've committed against us, right? How many would agree? We need to release others of the bad things they have done to us. Likewise, we need to release ourselves as well of the bad things, the offenses we have committed against other human beings. It goes both ways. Is that making sense here today? All right. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. All right. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Verse 39. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, I'll be asking today, does the Bible talk about forgiving myself of offenses that I may have committed against others? Yes, it does. It's in the passage we just read. Look at verse 39 again. Jesus said, the second commandment is like unto the great commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as you what yourself? Love your neighbor as you what yourself? As you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the love that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 22 is agape love. It's the God kind of love. And what springs from agape love? Agape love is the God kind of unconditional, no strings attached love. What springs forth from agape love? Forgiveness. Is that making sense? So even when you don't feel like forgiving somebody else, with no strings attached, you forgive them. Is that making sense? So if forgiveness is a part of agape love and springs forth from agape love, we could read verse 39 to say this, love your neighbor or forgive your neighbor as you forgive yourself. Because forgiveness is what? It's a big part of love. So forgive your neighbor as you forgive yourself. Is that making sense? All right. You know, when you do something, maybe you've done something to hurt somebody else, oftentimes a person who insults another person may be overcome with feelings of guilt and condemnation. Let's say you spoke abusive words into somebody's life, or you physically abused somebody, or you emotionally tortured another person, and you know you hurt that person. You know you offended them. Oftentimes, a person who offends another will be overcome with guilt or condemnation. And a lot of times, they'll go into self-punishment. They'll inflict on themselves self-punishment. And I'm here to tell you today, friend, that self-punishment could keep you stuck when God is wanting you to go forward. God is saying, I've got something bigger for your life. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a destiny for your life. I've got an end for your life, but you're stuck in guilt and condemnation concerning something insulting that you've done towards somebody else. And maybe today you're self-punishing yourself. Let's say, for instance, some example here. Say you shoplifted at a Walmart in the past, and you hurt the owner of that store or the manager of that store by shoplifting. You might think, man, I could never get a job at a Walmart or any type of store like that again. Let's say you sexually abused a woman or emotionally abused her. You might be thinking today, well, you know what, man, I sexually abused women in the past. I emotionally abused them. I played around with their emotions. And you know what? Because of that, I'll never get married. Friends, you know what that is? That is self-punishment. Let's say at one point in the past, you demeaned God's Word. You spoke down on God's Word. You blasphemed the Word of God. You might be thinking today, man, you know what? I spoke down on God's Word at some point in the past. And you know what? I could never become a minister of the Word of God. Friends, that is self-punishment. That right there is you punishing yourself, you not being able to forgive yourself. Maybe you abused a child at some point in the past. Maybe your own child, somebody else's child. And you might be thinking today, you know what? I'll never have a child of my own. Or maybe it was your own child, and you might be thinking today, you know what? My child will never respect me again. My child will never want anything to do with me again. And so you have these thoughts of guilt and condemnation and self-punishment. And if you keep thinking this way, and you keep self-punishing yourself, guess what? You're going to stay right in the place that you're at. You're going to stay stuck in life. You paralyze yourself. It's like you put yourself in your own self-mentally made prison. Is that making sense here today? So forgiving yourself. Now, let's talk about forgiving yourself. One way to release yourself of self-punishment is to do what? One of the main biblical ways to release yourself of self-punishment is to start doing what? It's to start remembering what? It's major. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. One of the ways to release yourself of self-inflicted punishment is to remember who you are in Jesus Christ. Remember who you are in Christ. It's plain and simple. But Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. If you're in Christ Jesus, the day that you said, Jesus, I make you my Savior and my Lord. Jesus, I place my faith and my trust in you. That day, on that day, you became a brand new creation. All of the sins, all of the bad things that you did were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness by God. You were clothed with a robe of righteousness. So when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you became a brand new creation. All of the sins, all of the offenses that you committed up until the day that you accepted Christ were forgiven and forgotten by God. You may have shoplifted at some point in the past, but if you accepted Jesus after that, guess what? God forgot about all of your shoplifting. He forgave you of it. You may have abused a woman, a child at some point in the past, but when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God forgot about and forgave you of that abuse. You became a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You became a brand new slate. Is that making sense here today? A brand new person. So the first way to release yourself, to start releasing yourself of self-inflicted punishment, is to remember who you are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? Say it with me. I am a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, when you placed faith in Jesus, you were covered by the blood of Jesus. All of your sins that you committed up until that point were washed away by the blood of Jesus. You received the gift of righteousness. You were instantly made righteous in the eyes of God. So then when God looked at you, He saw Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He didn't see your sinful past. Is that making sense? So you got to remember who you are in Christ. You're a brand new creation. When you accepted Jesus, you became a brand new creation. And you've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. Maybe you accepted Christ a day ago, a week ago, a month ago. Proverbs 23:7 says this, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Is that making sense? And at times, after having accepted Christ, you may slip and fall. But God is gracious. Just confess that sin to God. Say, God, you know what? I've been trying to live a holy life, God, by your grace, by your strength, but I slipped. I'm sorry, God. Confess your sin, and God will forgive you completely. He forgets that sin. But you've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. Is that making sense? God sees you as loved. God sees you as forgiven. God sees you as a person of another chance. You know, in your mind, it might be three strikes and you're out. Man, I messed up three times and forget it. It's over for with me. In my life, it's over for. God doesn't see it that way. God is the God of another chance in your life. Is that making sense? All right. If you start seeing yourself as a brand new creation in Christ, as a brand new slate, with a forgiven past, a person of potential, you'll go forward even if you hurt somebody else in the past. You may have insulted or offended somebody deeply in the past, in some situation, in some city, in some church setting, in some work setting, maybe here at the shelter. Maybe you really deeply offended somebody. But if you keep living in that, and you keep replaying in your mind the harm that you did to somebody else, like I said, you keep yourself in a prison of mental torture. You keep yourself stuck. You stay paralyzed. You can't go forward. Does that make any sense? But if you can start forgiving yourself like God forgives you, guess what? You can go forward with your life. If you can start seeing yourself as God sees you, as a person of another chance, you can start going forward with your life. The devil would want to keep you stuck in the past, in a prison called the past. But God is saying, no, I've got something so much greater for you in your future. And in order to go forward with the greater thing that God has for you, you've got to forgive yourself of the past offenses that you've committed against other fellow human beings. You got to stop with the self-inflicted punishments. See yourself as God sees you, as forgiven. You've got great potential, friend. I'm here to tell you today, you are not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth with a God-given divine end, destiny, and purpose. You're not here by mistake. I don't care if anybody in the past has told you you were a mistake. You're not a mistake. It was ordained by God that you were born into this earth. Is that good news? You are not a spare part in the body of Christ. You are on this earth with a God-given divine destiny and end to do something special in this earth, to do something special in the body of Christ in the kingdom of God. Is that good news? I don't want to be another graveyard statistic, and I've used this illustration in the past, that the wealthiest place in the world is where? Is where? The graveyard, exactly. The wealthiest place in the world is the graveyard because there is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. People who should have gone forward with their lives that never did because they were stuck in the past, in a prison called the past, replaying in their minds over and over and over again the wrong, the insult that they inflicted upon somebody else. I can't believe I did that to him. I can't believe I did that to her, so forth and so on. And they were stuck in the past, full of guilt and condemnation, and never went forward. The graveyard is the wealthiest place in the world. There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. How about you? Stay with me. I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you start seeing yourself as God sees you, as forgiven, a person who is loved, a person with a second chance, even though you may have abused a woman in the past, sexually, emotionally, you know what? You say, you know what? I'm justified just as if I had never sinned. I am clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Satan, you can't put guilt on me anymore. I am going forward in this area in my life. If God so wills, I can find a spouse. I can get married. Is that making sense? Going forward with your life in Jesus' name. Now, let's talk about the prodigal son here for a second. Luke chapter 15. How many know about the prodigal son? Let's look at Luke chapter 15. Let's read a few verses real quick. Luke 15. You can turn there real quick and let's go to verse 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Verse 16. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will sit out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. Now, this prodigal son asked for his share of the estate before the father had even died. How many would agree? And his father did what? His father gave him his share of the estate even before the father died. And so I really think that the prodigal son knew that the father loved him to do something like this. Wouldn't you agree? He thought, you know what? This father really loves me. He sees past my stupidity. He loves me from the very bottom of his heart. You know, I think he knew that the father loved him. I think he knew that the father would forgive him and give him a second chance. Because in the first place, the father did what? He gave him his share of the inheritance. He insulted his father. He offended his father. It was like telling his dad, Dad, I wish you were dead. And I think deep down in his heart, this prodigal son knew that the father really loved him. If my father was loving enough to see past my stupidity, to see past the offense that I inflicted upon him, I think I can go back to my father, is probably what he was thinking. So, you know, he ended up with the pigs. He ended up with the pigs. And if he got down on himself, and if he got into a guilt trip, if he got into self-inflicted punishment, guess what? He might have stayed right with the pigs his whole entire life. Is that making sense? But he knew that his father was a forgiving father. He knew deep down inside, I believe, that the father would give him a second chance. And so he humbled himself, he went to his father, and he repented to his father. And his father was there to welcome him with open arms. This son was seeing himself as the father saw him. He started acting towards himself as the father would act towards him. He started forgiving himself. He saw the father as being a forgiving father, a loving father. And so he probably thought, you know what? This father of mine is the father of another chance. And that's the way I'm going to start seeing myself, as a person of another chance. I know that my father is a loving father, a forgiving father. So I'm going to start, just like I think he'll forgive me, I'm going to start forgiving myself. I'm going to humble myself. And I'm going to repent to my father. And he did exactly that. And guess what? He was delivered from the pen of the pigs. He could have stayed there his whole life. He could have been in that prison his entire life. But he humbled himself. He knew that the father loved him. He knew that the father forgave him. And that's the way he started seeing himself, as loved and forgiven. And because he did, he went to the father, repented, and his life was turned around. He was set free in Jesus' name. Is that making sense here today?
And friend, I'm here to tell you today, you know what? You can stay stuck. You can stay stuck in the pen of pigs your whole life. If you condemn yourself and get down on yourself and talk about yourself and say, man, I can't believe I did this to him, to her. I just can't believe that came out of my mouth. I just can't believe those actions came from my body towards this other person. And if you keep replaying that, and you keep sowing that, nurturing that, and thinking about it, what you did towards somebody else, guess what? You may stay stuck in that mud. But you've got to be like that prodigal son. You've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. In this parable, the father represents whom? The father of the prodigal son represents whom? It represents Father God. And so you've got to start seeing yourself as Father God sees you, as the person of another chance, as being loved and forgiven. And if you can start seeing yourself that way, as God sees you, guess what? You'll set yourself free from the pen of pigs, from that prison of the past. Is that making sense here today? Is that making sense? All right. Start speaking scriptures over yourself. This scripture, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. If you got a Bible, you can turn there to close it off today. Romans 8, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when the devil tries to condemn you, when the devil tries to put a guilt trip on you concerning your past, concerning the offenses you inflicted on others, just start speaking the word to him. The devil hates the word of God. It puts a chill down his spine. When he hears the word of God, he's got to flee in Jesus' name. And so when he tries to put a guilt trip on you concerning your past, you just say the word of God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You old devil, hear it. I am in Christ Jesus. You can't put a guilt trip on me. You cannot condemn me in Jesus' name. And as he hears the word, he has got to flee. Is that making sense here today? If he hears the word out of your mouth, he has got to flee. So start seeing yourself as God sees you, as loved, as forgiven, and start quoting the word. Is that good? One final illustration. It's called The Duck and the Devil. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner. As he was walking back, he saw grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly. Hit the duck square in the head and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he had hit the dead duck in a woodpile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally said, Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen. Then she whispered to him, remember the duck. So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help me make supper. Sally just smiled and said, well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help. She whispered again, remember the duck? So Sally went fishing and Johnny stayed to help. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally could not stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed that he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug and said, sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing, but because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a slave of you. Whatever is in your past, whatever you have done, the devil keeps throwing it up in your face, cheating, debt, fear, bad habits, hatred, anger, bitterness, etc. Whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window and he saw the whole thing. He has seen your whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you and that you are forgiven. He's just wondering how long you will let the devil make a slave of you. The great thing about God is that when you ask for forgiveness, he not only forgives you, but he forgets. It's by God's grace and mercy that we are saved. Do not let the devil make a slave of you anymore. Do not let the devil keep you in a prison called the past anymore. All right, God saw the whole thing, and God forgives you. And if God forgives you, and God loves you, and God wants to give you another chance, start seeing yourself that way, as loved, forgiven, and as a person of another chance. Is that good news? Start speaking the word of God over your life. The words that you speak over yourself repeatedly, you'll start believing. When you get up in the morning, you say to yourself, you know what? There is no condemnation to me because I am in Christ Jesus. I don't walk in a guilt trip. God's got a great plan for my life. He's got potential for my life. He's got a destiny for my life. But don't speak it once over your life. Speak these words over your life on a consistent basis. And guess what? As you speak that word of God over your life on a consistent basis, you're going to start believing it. And you're going to start walking out in the great plan God has for your life. You're not going to be only walking with God, you'll start flying like an eagle with the Almighty God. Is that good news? All right. We don't want to hang around in a pig pen, right? We don't want to hang around with chickens. We want to fly like an eagle with Creator of heaven and earth, God Almighty. Is that good?